This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is California Congressman Dan Lundgren, who represents the Golden State's 3rd Congressional District. He was among those in the majority on Thursday night voting for the tax compromise, which also brought along, of course, a 13-month extension of unemployment benefits. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It is my pleasure.
As you know, over the last few days of this debate playing out in the House, initially it was the Democrats that were fiercely opposed to this, and some of them still were. But over time, some of the conservatives ended up peeling away, saying that the add-ons and the failure to offset the spending for unemployment benefits made it so that they couldn't vote for it, even though they obviously loved the extension of the tax policies from the Bush administration. What eventually led you to conclude that this was worth voting for?
Well, because either 85 or 88% of the quote-unquote cost of this bill was actually tax relief, or even more fundamentally, not increasing taxes on the American people. If you accepted the argument that we heard from the liberal Democrats, that unfortunately some of my colleagues on our side picked up, that this costs so much money, $800 billion or whatever the number was they gave, you have to accept the proposition that when we don't raise taxes, that causes a deficit, or that adds to the deficit, or you are obligated if you don't raise taxes in one area to raise taxes in another. Otherwise, you carry it on the books as a loss. The only way that makes sense to me is if you believe that every dollar earned is first owned by the government, and the federal government only by its sufferance allows people to keep their money. I'm still of the mind that when you earn money, it's your money, earned by the sweat of your brow, and that government should take only that which is absolutely necessary, the minimum necessary to do those essential jobs of government.
So the projections they were looking at were probably based on the assumption that the tax cuts would expire. Now that they're not going to, what kind of actions do you expect the Congress, most likely next year then, to take in addressing necessary spending reductions?
Well, I think you're going to find from the very get-go we're going to be involved in specific cuts every week on the floor of the House. We will be bringing up specific cuts, dealing with programs that are unnecessary or programs that are overly funded from the very first week. Secondly, you will see us address the cost of our own operations, that is the House of Representatives. We're going to follow through with a commitment made by the upcoming Speaker, John Boehner, that we will cut his staff or his budget and the budget of all of our leadership by 5%. We will cut the budget of all committees of the House by 5%, and we will cut the individual allowances, that is, the budgets that are given to each member to do the job that he or she is elected to do. That means that pays for the employees that work for you, that pays for your travel, that pays for your communications, that pays for rent in your district offices. But we're going to try and send a message and set an example that Congress is not exempt from it. As a matter of fact, we're going to, as one of our very first acts, put our house in order begin to put our house in order.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren. And Congressman, when it comes to the two-year extension of the existing tax rates, and not just with respect to income tax, but dividend and cap gains taxes as well, this provides more certainty that a lot of small business owners were asking for. Others say obviously making them permanent would give them more certainty. What kind of impact do you expect the two-year extension to have?
Well, the first thing it will do, it will get rid of the uncertainty that we're going to have coming into these next 2 years. Secondly, it will remove the certainty that some people thought we had that taxes were going to go up. It will also remove this crazy situation of the IRS obligated to follow the law in which they would have sent out new rates that people would have to follow in terms of what they would have to send in from each paycheck. And then they would have to turn around about 2 or 3 months later, if we were successful in extending or reimposing the Bush-era tax cuts back into effect, then they would have to go out and let all the businesses know that they'd have to recalculate the withholding. And so it would have been a huge mess. And not only would it be a mess, but it would have even made it much more difficult for business employers to hire folks. And so I just think it would have been disastrous for us not to act on this. The other thing I would hope that we would do is we would build on this, that this isn't the end all of our approach. We ought to make those tax cuts, or as I like to say, keep those tax rates down on a permanent basis so that there will be some certainty beyond the 2 years. I also think we ought to look at an overall simplification of the tax code. I think that's a long time in coming, and now is perhaps the most propitious time for us doing it, at a time when we recognize that the problem we have is not on the taxing side, it's on the spending side. We could also make a tax code that was far less complex, that's far more easily applied, and frankly, would be less of a drag on true economic activity in our private sector.
Congressman, in terms of the lame duck session, obviously it's been a more aggressive one than we're used to as the Democrats try to pass as much as they can with their larger majorities, and they'll certainly have in the next Congress. In terms of this omnibus bill that was introduced and then subsequently died in the Senate, a lot of talk about earmarks and the total price tag there. Another big factor there seems to be all the different provisions that would have been funded in the new health care laws, which, of course, you and your colleagues plan to at least try to repeal next year. How significant is it that that bill will not be moving forward?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Look, first of all, having this lame duck session operating the way it has been is a disaster. It is an insult to the American people, who spoke very loudly on November 2nd about what they felt was the wrong direction this Congress and this president was taking. At the same time, we do, under the law, have the right to be in session. Our Congress doesn't go out of, that is, the members who are currently elected do not go out of office until the first couple of days of January. So legally and constitutionally, we have every right to be in session. But politically, ethically, morally, what we ought to have done is just come back, passed the CR, continuing resolution that would carry us into perhaps February, extended the tax cuts or the tax rates, and gone home. That's the graceful thing to have done. I wasn't here in 94 when the Republicans took over for the first time in a generation or more, but I am told that at that time the then Speaker of the House, Tom Foley, was gracious, called the members back for a very short-term lame duck, did that which was necessary, and then bid everyone adieu. That's what we should have done here. This idea about cramming everything in that the American people rejected before those who lost at the election go out of office is an insult. And so that's the disastrous part of it. The good part of having them first come forward with this porculous bill, this thing that was just full of pork, the so-called omnibus bill, to have it presented and then removed shows that the impact of the election is being felt. It shows that those who are part of the Tea Party movement and others allied with them, although maybe not formally members of the Tea Party, have had an impact. And I think that impact will only grow. If you would take this back a year ago, if we'd found ourselves in a similar situation, if somehow we could change the calendar, I don't think you would have seen them give up on that omnibus bill. In fact, I think you would have seen a larger omnibus bill filled with pork. But the very idea that you had to have Senator Reid remove it from the floor is an extraordinary reality that things are changing back here in Washington, D.C. Maybe not fast enough for some people, and I keep telling them, look, we don't have our Congress yet. We're waiting for those 87 new Republicans to show up here. We're looking forward to that majority we're going to have. We don't have it right now, but we will build on some of these elements that have occurred, the extension of the tax cuts and the removal, tossing into the dustbin of history that huge spending bill. Those are just they're kind of little views to the future. I think they're showing in what direction this Congress is going to go rather than just being an aberration.
Last 15 seconds. Other than the continuing resolution, is the work of the House done as far as you know in this lame duck?
It should be, but they're still struggling. Well, over on the Senate, they're talking about doing the don't ask, don't tell. They're talking about the START treaty. But as far as the House is concerned, we ought to just do the CR and go home.
Well, we'll find out if that's the case. Congressman, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Merry Christmas. Congressman Dan Lundgren of California's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.